brother. Let's say amen one more time. Give the Lord another hand clap of praise. My soul is full. I rejoice this morning. I rejoice. See, I was doubly blessed this week. Sister Greaves came by the church office earlier this week and shared her testimony this week. So I was been doubly blessed this week. Open up your Bibles, and also it's in your bulletin, but I will be referring to some scriptures in the Bible that's not in your bulletin. So turn with us to Genesis chapter 41. Genesis chapter 41. That's why I always encourage you to bring your Bible or your electronic device with you, that you can look at the scriptures, because we don't always put exactly in the bulletin what we're going to be preaching for from that morning. But let us read Genesis chapter 41. And since we'll be reading it together, let's read out of the bulletin translation, the New King James Version. I know we have different versions, so let us read, since we're going to read it together, let's read out of the bulletin, verse 37 through verse 44 of Genesis 41. Genesis 41, verses 37 through 44. Genesis 41, verses 37 through 44. Let us read the Word of God now. So the advice was good in the eyes of Pharaoh and in the eyes of all his servants. And Pharaoh said to his servants, "Can we find such a one as this, a man in whom is the Spirit of God?" Then Pharaoh said to Joseph, "Inasmuch as God has shown you all this, shall be over all my house, and all my people shall be ruled accordingly to your word. Only in regard to the throne will I be greater than you." Pharaoh said to Joseph, "See, I have set you over all the land of Egypt." Then Pharaoh took his signet ring and put it in Joseph's hand. And he clothed him in garments of fine linen and put a gold chain around his neck. He had him ride in the second chariot. Amen. Before you take your seat, maybe look to someone and say, "God did it. God did it. God did it." You may be seated. God did it. I don't want us to be confused about that this morning. It was God. It was the Lord God who did it. It was Jesus who did it. When we left Brother Joseph last week, you remember, if you were with us, he had just been thrown into prison. So although the Lord is with Joseph, although God has shown Joseph favor, Joseph is still in prison. But he's in prison for a purpose. You might want to jot that down. Joseph is in prison for a purpose. He's in prison for a purpose. And child of God, let me just encourage you with this thought this morning. There's always purpose in your pain. There's always purpose in your pain. See, while Joseph was in prison, he meets these two men who are from the king's palace. Brother Michael, he's from the king's palace. One was a cupbearer, also butler, depends on your translation of the scriptures. A butler and a cupbearer, they were the same person. And the other one was a baker. And they had, each one of them had their own separate dream, Sister Johnson. Each one had their own separate dream. And after they dreamed, I'm in Genesis chapter 40 and then verse 7. After they dreamed, they appeared to Joseph and they looked sad. They were sad. And so Joseph said in Genesis 40 verse 8, he said to them, they said, "Joseph, we're sad because we have had a dream and there is no interpreter of it." So Joseph said to them, he's in prison, and he said to them, "Do not interpretations belong to God? Tell them to me." Now, Joseph, let's look at the life of Joseph real briefly. When he was a teenager, God had given him the ability to interpret dreams. And he was just a teenager, so he was kind of youthful, maybe a little prideful, maybe a little arrogant. And even though he and his siblings, they were already battling, they kind of already was envious of Joseph. And Joseph told them about how his dreams meant basically they were going to bow down before him, which did happen later on. And so Joseph, when you look at the earlier part of Genesis, he didn't give God credit back then as a teenager. But here it is now, Joseph, he's in his 20s, and so he's quick to give God the praise and worship. He tells these two men, the butler and the baker, hey, God gives interpretations of the dream. Tell me what you dream, and God will give us the interpretation. And so each one of them, they tell Joseph what their dreams were. And so he looks at the cupbearer, the butler. He said, man, you got a good dream. He said, in 3 days, they're going to release you, and you're going to go back to Pharaoh's house. You're going to go back to the king's palace. You're going to go back to giving him different things to drink. You had a good dream. In 3 days, you're going to be out of here. And then the baker, he tells Joseph his dream. And Joseph said, baker, I'm sorry, man, your dream is not so good. In 3 days, they're going to execute you. They're going to hang you. They're going to cut off your head. And so guess what? 3 days passed, and the baker, exactly what Joseph said happened to him. They executed him. They killed him. But oh, yeah, the cupbearer, the butler, they released him. But check this out, what Joseph said in Genesis 40, verses 14 and 15, to paraphrase it. Joseph said, brother, man, he didn't really say that, but you know, he said, don't forget about me. I'm here in this prison. I'm innocent. I didn't do anything wrong. So when you go back before the king, show me some kindness. Because a cupbearer, he would be right there with the king a lot. And they often had great influence on the king. If I got any Bible readers in the house, you remember Nehemiah, who was a cupbearer. And he came before a pagan king. And he was sad. And the king said, what's wrong, Nehemiah? He said, well, the walls are down in Jerusalem. And then the king said, well, here's a blank check. Take all you need and go back and build the walls. So Joseph said, man, here it is, the cupbearer, this butler who's close to the Pharaoh. Maybe if he puts in a good word for me, I'll get released from prison. But verse 23 of chapter 40, first I'm sure that Joseph, the butler said, yeah, Joseph, when I get out, I'm going to remember you. But look at verse 20 if you got your Bibles open to Genesis 40. Verse 23, rather, of Genesis 40 says, when the chief butler, when he got out, he did not remember Joseph, but forgot him. How many of y'all know man will let you down? Man will let you down. Here it is. Joseph interprets his dream, gave him a good interpretation. He gets released, and he said, the Bible said he forgot about Joseph. Man will let you down. But as you go through suffering, as Joseph went through suffering, remember this, suffering tests our faith, but suffering also strengthens our faith. Let me repeat that. You might want to write that down. You might need that this week. Suffering tests our faith, but also suffering strengthens our faith. I have a few worries that when we go through stuff, just like what Sister Gree has gone through, when we go through stuff, we come out on the other side, our faith is stronger. We trust the Lord more. So God, if you brought me through that, I know you can help me handle this. So God never wastes trials or tests on his children. These trials, these sufferings, these things we go through for righteousness' sake, they're just really used to help build up our faith, to strengthen our faith. So here we go to chapter 41 of Genesis. We're going to spend the rest of our time in Genesis 41. The Pharaoh, who's the king of all of Egypt, which at this time, Egypt was the mightiest country on all of the earth. And so Pharaoh, the king, he has this dream. Actually, he has two dreams. The first dream, he dreams about these seven fat cows, these seven plump cows. And then seven skinny, ugly looking cows come up and devour the seven fat cows. And later on, when he tells Joseph about the dream, it talks about how the seven skinny cows, they didn't gain any weight. They didn't get any fattier because they had eaten the fat cow. They still were skinny. They didn't gain weight like Sister Green said. She gained weight. They're skinny. So that kind of troubled the king. And during those days, by the way, dreaming was a big thing, especially amongst the pagans. They thought, every time I dream, God is telling me something. Now, God is God. He can speak to us through his dreams, but not every time you dream, God is trying to say something. But the pagans, they really believe, if I had this dream, what does it mean? What does it mean? And so he was troubled. And so he goes back to sleep, though. Genesis 41, verse 5. The Bible says he slept and dreamed a second time, and suddenly seven heads of grain came up on one stalk, plump and good. Then behold, seven thin heads, blighted by the east wind, sprang up after them. And the seven thin heads devoured the seven plump and full heads. So Pharaoh awoke, and indeed it was a dream. So Pharaoh had these two different dreams. seven cows, seven heads of grain. First one was fat and plump. Next one was skinny. So he's troubled. Verse 8 says he's troubled. Brother Jared said, now it came to pass that morning that his spirit was troubled. Somebody say his spirit was troubled. His spirit was troubled. And he sent and called, listen, for all the magicians of Egypt and all his wise men. And Pharaoh told them his dreams. But there was no one. There was no one. There was no one who could interpret them for Pharaoh. So Pharaoh wakes up and his spirit is troubled. Is your spirit troubled this morning? Check this out. Trouble can get into your house without a key. Trouble can get in your house without a key. So Pharaoh is troubled. He was a pagan. He didn't know Jesus. He didn't have a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. If you don't know Jesus, your spirit is going to be troubled. Because oftentimes, even as a Christian, sometimes our spirit gets troubled. But this pagan, this king, this Pharaoh, he didn't know Jesus. So when you don't know Jesus, you're going to look for the answers in all the wrong places. He looked for answers amongst the magicians and the wise men, his posse, his boys. He calls them to himself, and guess what? They could not help him. You know, that practice, once again, was popular then, Sister Candace, when you had a dream and you call your little magicians and you tell them a dream and they're supposed to try to interpret it. But even today, people do similar things. I guess it's still there. When I go down to Brainerd Road and Moore Road, this house, this big hand, some palm reader. It's been there for years. Somebody going in there. I remember in the 80s, might even been the late 70s, when these psychic hotlines got real popular. Y'all remember those? And Dionne Warwick, who's a great singer, she was doing the commercials. I said, surely our time's not that bad, are they? That might have missed a couple of you all. Listen, I saw this just yesterday in the paper. I'm not going to necessarily call the name, but some churches, even some churches, bring in crazy stuff into the walls of the church to try to help you understand this and that. Even some so-called churches. You can read stuff, it's not even Christ and not godly at all. So even some churches do that. But even many people, this is going to get somebody, many people, rather than when they're troubled, when their spirit is troubled, rather than going to God, rather than going to Jesus, some people, they go to the latest and greatest and hottest talk show hosts. Let me go back just a couple of years. Some people go to Oprah. Don't get quiet on me now. What does Oprah say about it? No, don't get me wrong. She's a great businesswoman. I mean, she's done well in her field. She gives a lot of money and all that stuff. But I'm sorry, her theology is messed up. Her view of God and Jesus is messed up. So I'm be looking to see what Oprah says. All right, that didn't get some of y'all there. Let me try something else. Some people go to a person like Steve Harvey. Check out the Steve Harvey Morning Show. I know I'm stepping on a couple of toes now. Brother Bray, I was flipping through my radio a few months ago and I came across the Steve Harvey Morning Show and he was giving some quote-unquote advice on marriage. That stuff was so unbiblical and I don't know, man, that stuff was so unbiblical. Now I know Steve Harvey, he professes to be a Christian now. I don't know if he is or he is not. But at the very minimum, by what I heard out of his mouth that day, he needs to read his Bible some. Some people say, well, what does Dr. Phil say about it? You and I need to say what Dr. Jesus says about it. When your spirit is troubled, go to Jesus. When your spirit is not troubled, still go to Jesus. Some people turn to all types of things when their spirit is troubled. Some people go to drugs or alcohol. Some people go to illicit sex. Some people go to food or go to shopping or whatever. But when your spirit is troubled, you better go to the God who can give you peace. When your spirit is troubled, go to the one, when the storms are raging in your life, go to the one who can calm the storms. Go to the one who can say, peace be still, and your storm will be stilled. Many people go to all kinds of things when their spirit is troubled. And so this is what happens. Pharaoh, his spirit is troubled. He's had these two dreams. He's called all of his little cronies, all his little boys, his armor bearers or whomever. He's called all of them and none of them can interpret the dream. So here it is, the cupbearer, the butler. He had, like a song said way back in the 70s, "Oh yeah, now I remember." Somebody know what I'm talking about. He said 2 years ago, this guy was in prison, Pharaoh, and me and the baker, we told him our dreams. And he interpreted those things exactly right. What he said came true. I was released and the baker was killed. Joseph, he's still in prison, I'm sure. So look at what happens on verse 14. Verse 14, I'm talking about God did it. I'm talking about there's purpose in the pain. So then Pharaoh sent and called Joseph and they brought him quickly out of the dungeon, quickly out of prison, quickly out of jail. And he, Joseph, shaved, changed his clothing and came to Pharaoh. Now Pharaoh, this earthly king, little K-I-N-G, this earthly lord, little L-O-R-D, he had much power. So he called Joseph out of prison. You know what? We serve a true king, a true lord, who can call us out of prison. Our Lord, our Savior, he can break our chains. He can call us out of the prison of depression. We just heard that through Sister Griggs. He can call us out of the prison of discontentment. He can call us out of the prison of a joyless life. He can call us out of the prison of a life without peace. He can break our chains. He can break our chains. We just sang it. He can break our chains. Our God will. Can he do it? Won't he do it? He'll break our chains. He is the true Lord, the true King. So Joseph, it's interesting, before he went to see the king of Egypt, the Bible says he had to shave, because he's down in a dungeon. I'm sure he looked pretty rough down in prison. He had to shave, he had to change his clothing before he came to the king. Aren't you glad? Aren't you glad? We don't have to clean ourselves up before we come to the king. See, that's the hang up with so many people. You've heard them say this. They're trying to shave. They're trying to change their own clothing. They say stuff like, preacher or Christian, I'll come to King Jesus as soon as I quit cussing. I'll come to King Jesus as soon as I quit drinking or smoking weed. I'll come to King Jesus as soon as I stop lying all the time. I'll come to King Jesus as soon as I stop gossiping all the time. I'll come to King Jesus as soon as I get rid of this pride out of my life. I'll come to King Jesus as soon as I learn how to forgive people. Newsflash, without the Lord Jesus Christ, you will never stop doing any of that stuff. On your own, you can't stop cussing. On your own, you can't stop gossiping. On your own, you can't stop lying. On your own, you can't stop drinking alcohol. On your own, you can't stop whoring around. On your own, you can't do any of these things. You gotta come to Jesus just as you are. You gotta come to Jesus just as you are. The hymn writer said this, I came to Jesus just as I was, weary, worn, and sad, but I found in him. But I found in him. Y'all not going to help me this morning, are you? But I found in him. I found in him a resting place. And he has made me glad. I came just as I was. You came just as you were. So don't be like Joseph. You don't have to be like other people saying, I got to clean up. Another thing that verse 14 teaches us, if you're taking notes, write this down. God hadn't forgotten about Joseph. God hadn't forgotten about Joseph. Let me refresh this. Joseph, most theologians kind of estimate that he was probably around 17 years old when he got thrown down into the pit and got thrown, sold into slavery. Here it is now. Joseph is roughly about, the Bible don't tell us in a few minutes, he's roughly about 30 years old. So here is 13 years Joseph has been in a foreign land. 13 years Joseph has been in a pit. He's been in Potiphar's house and then got thrown into prison for a crime he did not commit. 13 years. So Joseph, he could have been thinking, maybe God has forgotten me. Genesis 40, 14 and 15 showed us a little inkling of Joseph. Man, I'm in here. I'm innocent. I'm innocent. So just because God seemingly has forgotten about you, God doesn't ever forget about his children. I said, God doesn't ever forget about his children. So God had not forgotten about Joseph. So regardless of your circumstance, regardless of your situation, God hasn't forgotten about you. I know you might be saying, well, Lord, how long is it going to take? How long before this happens? Well, just be patient. Just wait on the Lord. Just wait on the Lord. You might say, well, Lord, I'm struggling in this situation. Well, just be patient. You might say, Lord, my finances, I got more money than money. Well, God is Jehovah Jireh. He is the Lord who will provide. You might say, well, I'm sick. I'm going through this and that. Well, he is the healer. I say, he is the healer. He is Jehovah Rapha, the God who heals. So Joseph, he's been summoned from prison. Now he's in the palace. Think about this. Once again, he's gone from the pit to Potiphar's house to prison. Now he's at the palace. And so here he is before the king, before the Pharaoh, the quote unquote, the mightiest man on all the earth. Pharaoh, verse 15, Pharaoh said to Joseph, I have had a dream. It's kind of like Dr. Martin Luther King, right? I had a dream. So I've had a dream, and there is no one. There is no one. All these magicians, all these guys I got around me, there is no one who can interpret it. But I have heard it said of you that you can understand a dream, Sister Howie, and you can interpret it. Listen to what Joseph said. Joseph said to Pharaoh, it is not in me. God will give Pharaoh an answer of peace. Joseph is saying, my title is, Joseph said, God is going to do it. God did it. He said, it's not in me, but it's in God. And he has great faith. He said, look, he hadn't even heard the dream yet. He said, Pharaoh, God is going to reveal this thing to you. Now that's great faith. That's great trust. He hadn't even heard the dream yet. He said, Pharaoh, God is going to do this thing. God is going to do it. And so Joseph, he is really adamant about giving all the glory, all the honor, all the praise to God. Well, I'll take a page from Joseph's book. Well, I'll take a page from Joseph's book. You know, everything you know, it was God who taught you. Where you come from, it was God who brought you. Everything you own, God bought you. I mean, God gets all the glory. He gets all the credit. He gets all the praise. Every good and perfect gift comes from above. And Joseph is beginning to realize this. It's God who did it. It's God who did it. So that job, like I said last week, that job you got, it wasn't so much you such a great interview and your resume looked so good. God did it. God did it. Yeah, we have our part to play. We have human responsibility. But ultimately, at the end of the day, every good thing in my life, every good that's going on in your life, it was God who did it. Oh, I need to repeat that. I'm in the book of James. Everything good in your life, everything's good in my life, God does it. Every good and perfect gift comes from above. The Bible says a man who finds a wife finds a good thing and favor with God. Brothers, y'all need to be saying amen right there. Y'all need, help me out, Brother Tommy. I'm trying to set you up, brother, for a good one right there. Everything good. Sister Cousin, everything good. Brother Chris, comes from God. Everything good comes from God. And so here it is. Joseph tells Pharaoh, man, God is going to reveal this thing. So the next few verses, Pharaoh reveals the dream to Joseph. Tells him about the seven fat cows, or the seven skinny cows came and ate them up. They still were skinny. Tells him about the head of the grain, the seven plump ones that were followed by the seven skinny ones. He tells him those dreams. And then look at what Joseph is just listening. I'm sure he was praying. But look at verse 28. After Pharaoh has told him those dreams, those two dreams, look at what Joseph said in verse 28 of Genesis 41. This is the thing, Joseph said, which I have spoken to Pharaoh. God has shown Pharaoh. Somebody say, God did it. God did it. God has shown Pharaoh what he is about to do. Indeed, the 7 years of great plenty will come throughout all the land of Egypt. But after them, 7 years of famine will arise, and all the plenty will be forgotten in the land of Egypt. And the famine will deplete the land. So the plenty will not be known in the land because of the famine following. For it would be very great, very severe. And the dream was repeated to Pharaoh twice because a thing is established by God and God will shortly bring it to pass. Somebody said God did it. God will shortly bring it to pass. So he lays it out. And then he even goes on in verse 33. Joseph said, okay, that's what the dream means. Let me give you a solution. Now, therefore, let Pharaoh select a discerning and wise man and set him over the land of Egypt. Joseph said, hey, that's what's going to happen, Pharaoh. This is what you need to do. You need to get a wise, you need to get a discerning man and put him, Nikeon, put him over the land. Now, Jonah could have even, I probably would have done this. Jonah could have even said, Pharaoh, you know, God just showed you the dream. Put me over this plan. Put me over this program. But now, Joseph wasn't self-promoting. Beloved, don't try to promote yourself. Let God promote you. Let God promote you. Because a lot of times when we try to promote ourselves, we mess up, and then you got to try to keep promoting yourself. Let God raise you up. Let God promote you. 1 Peter 5, 6 says this, therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. James 14 says, humble yourself in the sight of the Lord, and he will lift you up. Somebody say, God will do it. God will do it. God, let God lift you up. Let God lift you up. So Joseph gives him a good thing to do. Let's see how Pharaoh responds. He said, let Pharaoh do this. Now Joseph said it. Let Pharaoh do this and let him appoint officers over the land to collect one-fifth of the produce of the land of Egypt in the 7 plentiful years. So Joseph, once again, is kind of giving him the plan, what he needs to do, without saying, let me do it, king, let me do it. No, he's just telling him what he needs to do. And let them gather all the food of those good years that are coming and store up grain under the authority of Pharaoh, and let them keep food in the city. That makes sense. If you got a lot coming in, I put some to the side. That's a good financial tip for all of us. When the money is coming in good, put some to the side. When the money is coming in good, put some to the side. Don't just spend everything you get. Don't get quiet on it. Don't get quiet. Then that food, the one that we've been saving, that food will be as a reserve for the land for the 7 years of famine, which shall be in the land of Egypt, that the land may not perish during the famine. So Joseph basically said, king, this is what you need to do. You know, 7 years of plenty, take back some. I think he said a fifth. Take back a fifth. Put that in the barns. Put that in the reserve, because the famine is coming. Somebody said the famine is coming. Famine is coming. So the advice was good in the eyes of Pharaoh. He was like, that's a good plan. And in the eyes of all his servants. And Pharaoh said to his servants, can we find such a one as this? A man in whom is the spirit of God. I'm sure Pharaoh was thinking, man, and my little boys, they couldn't even tell me the dream. And here is this man who could tell me everything that's going to happen and give me a plan on how to execute this thing. He said, the spirit of God must be in him. Even a pagan, even an unsaved person recognize the hand of God must be on him. But this is not a new thing for Joseph. When he came into Potiphar's house, Potiphar recognized the hand of God must be upon Joseph. And I'm going to let Joseph run everything in my house. Even when he went to prison, went down in the dungeon, even the guy that was over the prison, he recognized that the hand of God was upon Joseph. So he put Joseph in control of everything. So here it is, this other pagan, all of them were pagans, all of them were lost. Even this other pagan, the king of all Egypt, he said, something about this guy named Joseph. The spirit of God is upon him. This is a great, great plan. Is the spirit of God upon you like that, beloved? The people recognize and know that, hey, you must worship God. You must follow Jesus. See, you and I are called to be salt and light in this world. People should acknowledge and recognize something different about you. Something different about me. We live in a fallen world. A lot of people that we come in contact with, be it our family members, be it co-workers, be it people in our neighborhood, a lot of them are lost. A lot of them are unsaved. A lot of them are in darkness. So if you're carrying the light of Christ, that light is going to shine. I remember when I was at TVA, you know, I worked there 16 and a half years. One of my co-workers, a real good guy, real smart. I used to call him semi-brilliant in computers. And we would have to go every now and then to Knoxville or to one of the nuclear plants or something. And we both were programmers. And like I said, he was real smart. He was kind of like my team lead, kind of like the guy that was mentoring me. And so oftentimes we go in these crazy meetings and stuff would get kind of out of hand. And I remember one meeting, this guy on a Monday, he called my team lead. It was on a Monday. And he basically just cursed him out. He just cursed him out. And he said, man, I want to have a meeting with you and Jerry. I want to have a meeting with y'all on Friday. That was Monday. He cursed out my buddy. Matter of fact, he let me listen to the message. I said, man, this guy is mad. He's irate. Something we had done, I guess, was wrong in his mind. So all week long, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, I'm talking about how if you're walking with the Lord, people should recognize something different. And so all week long, he and I both were a little anxious, a little nervous, and I was praying, and lo and behold, that particular Friday, I had to go to a funeral, and that funeral was a great home going for this brother that I knew, and the choir was singing, and the sermon was a great sermon, and so I had this meeting I had to go to, but as I listened to all that, Brother Chris said, wait a minute. The God that I serve, he's greater than this guy that worked for this nuclear plant. He's greater than him. So God gonna work this thing out. So as we got ready to go into the meeting, I talked to my friend who was unsaved, and he was nervous. Even though he was very smart, he was nervous. And I basically said, kind of like Joe, I said, man, he's gonna handle it. It's gonna be all right. And sure enough, we went into this meeting. I was a little nervous too, but I didn't let him know that. We went into this meeting, and I saw this beautiful painting on the guy's wall, and I immediately made, he had a big office. I made a positive remark about that painting. And God took that one little positive comment, that one little thing, and the guy who cursed us out on Monday, his heart just melted. And I mean, that meeting went real smooth, and we left the meeting. I'll never forget what my coworker said. We left that meeting. He said, Gerald, I'm going to always keep you around me, man. I'm going to always. I said, man, it was the Lord. It was the Lord who worked that out. But as we just walk with God, and let him do what he's going to do. People will see a difference in your life and in my life. That's just one example. So the king of Egypt, the Pharaoh, he notices that God is with Joseph. He notices that God did it. He notices that. Now, once again, saints, as we walk for the Lord, it's more than just a Sunday morning. As Minister Bray said earlier this morning, it's not just a Sunday morning thing. It's an everyday reality. It's a Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, back around to Sunday. It's an everyday thing. We live this out. When we come in here today, we come to worship God. We come to get encouragement. We come to get some correction. And when we leave out of here, we go out there to serve. I said, we go out there to serve. So here it is. Verse 39 says, verse 38, rather, Pharaoh said to his servants, can we find such a one as this, a man whom is the Spirit of God? Verse 39. Then Pharaoh said to Joseph, talking about God did it, inasmuch as God, even the pagans now is recognizing, once again, God is with you, Joseph. See, earlier, the Pharaoh was talking about, well Joseph, you know the dream. Same thing with the butler. Early on, he was saying, Joseph, you can tell the dream. But no, God is the one who does it. Somebody say, God did it. God did it. Pharaoh said, man, since you've told me my dreams, verse 40, he said, you should be over my house. Listen to this. And all my people shall be ruled according to your word. All my people shall be ruled according to your word. And then also he said, I see you have set, Pharaoh said to Joseph, see, I have set you over all the land of Egypt. That's kind of keep a reoccurring phrase in the last few verses of chapter 41. Pharaoh keeps saying, Joseph, you've been put over all of the land in Egypt. Joseph, you've been put over all of the land in Egypt. Somebody not following me. You're missing that. Joseph, he was in prison. He gets called into the Pharaoh's house. And next thing you know, Joseph, he's over everything in all of Egypt. He's basically like the vice president. You know, he's the only person greater than him is the Pharaoh. See how God works? I mean, God worked that thing out. God worked that thing out. So it's promotion time. Joseph got promoted. That shouldn't surprise us. Proverbs, write this down. Proverbs 21:1. Listen to what Proverbs 21:1 says. It should give you some comfort today. It says, the king's heart is in the hand of the Lord. Like the rivers of water, God turns it wherever he wishes. Let me read that again. The king's heart, we can say the president's heart, is in the hand of the Lord. Like the rivers of water, God turns it wherever he wishes. That's why we should pray, we should vote, all that stuff. And a lot of times we say, well, I wish a Christian got in office. That would be good. But listen, I don't care if it's a Christian or not a Christian. Their heart is in the hand of God. God turns it wherever he wishes. So if it's President Trump, his heart is in the hand of God. President Obama, his heart was in the hand of God. President Bush and Clinton go all down the line. Whoever's going to be elected president the next time, listen, their heart is in the hands of God. Somebody ought to clap right there. Their hearts Let me make a side new, we'll delete this out of the CD, a side view comment on the president. Now, some of the stuff our president does now, I'm like, man, I don't know where his heart is. I don't know where. But beloved, let me come back to the scriptures. His heart is in the hands of the Lord. Whoever it is. Look at verse 42 through 44, and I'm almost through. Pharaoh took the signet ring off his hand. Somebody said, once again, promotion time. And put it on Joseph's hand. And he clothed him in garments of fine linen and put a gold chain around his neck. He had bling bling before it was bling bling. And he put him in a ride in the second chariot, which he had. And they cried out before him, before Joseph, bowed a knee. So he set him over all the land of Egypt. Remember I tell you, they keep saying that. They set him over all the land of Egypt. Somebody say all the land. All the land of Egypt. Pharaoh also said to Joseph, I am Pharaoh. And without your consent, Joseph, no man may lift his hand or foot. Here it is again. In all the land of Egypt. Pharaoh said, here it is. Man, I'm the king. I'm like the president. But listen, beside me, you're in charge of everything. I'm going to give you the second chariot, which means he's the second in command over all of Egypt. Now look, once again, God had worked this thing out. God allowed Joseph to be put down in a pit. God allowed Joseph to be sold into slavery. God allowed Joseph to go into Potiphar's house. God allowed Joseph to go into prison. Somebody say, God did it. God did it. And if I had to talk to Pharaoh today, I would tell Pharaoh, don't get it confused, Pharaoh. I know you're the king of Egypt. I know you got a lot of power, got a lot of clout. But it was God who had you to put the butler in jail. It was God, Pharaoh, who made the butler have that dream. It was God who enabled Joseph to interpret the dream of butler. Pharaoh, it was God who gave you your dreams. It was God, somebody else said God did it. It was God who reminded the butler 2 years earlier that there's a guy down in prison who can interpret dreams. It was a God who led you, Pharaoh, to summons Joseph from the prison. It was God who gave Joseph the ability to interpret the dreams of Pharaoh. And Pharaoh, don't get it twisted. It's God who is moving on your heart, even right now, to put Joseph in this position of power. Once again, somebody say, God did it. God did it. He took him from the pit to Potiphar's house to prison, and now he's in a palace. God can do that. I said, God can do that. Now, sometimes it may not end that good. I don't want to get you confused. Sometimes it may not end like that, but if God's hand is on it, it's always for his glory and for your good. It's always for his glory and for your, I bleed out, go to my grave believing it. It's always for God's glory and for your or my good. God did it. God did it. It's all about God. He's in control. God is sovereign. He is all powerful. He is all knowing. He is omnipresent. God did it. So even, beloved, it's God who allows you to break those chains. It's God who is keeping your marriage together. It's God who is giving you the wisdom and wisdom to handle those kids and those grandkids. It's God who enabled you to get off that sick bed. It's God who gave you the power to break those destructive habits. It's God who is keeping you from returning to those bad habits. It's God who is keeping you from your favorite sin. It's God who is doing it. I wish I could say it out of my mouth the way I feel it in my heart. It's God who has done it. It's God who is doing it. It's God who is doing it. If you don't believe me, I can call a few more witnesses. I went to hear Pastor Waller preach this morning. He said the same thing. I didn't copy this off him, Pastor Ray. Pastor Bray was there. Brother Bray was there as well. God does it. You can just ask Daniel. I got some Bible readers in the house. You can just ask Daniel down in the lion's den, Mother Lawson. God was the one who freed him out of the lion's den. You can just ask the three Hebrew boys down in the fiery furnace. It was God. Before they went in there, say, hey, we don't know how this thing going to turn out, King. We don't know. But I tell you what, God is able. God is able. See, like Joseph, he testified before the dream even came. God is able. Sometimes we don't know what God is going to do, but we can say confidently, he is able. And they went down into the fiery furnace. They were bound. And the Bible said the king looked in there. He saw one, two, three. Wait a minute. There's a fourth man in there who seems like the son of God. And not only were they down in a fiery furnace, they were unbound, and they were walking around with Jesus, and they came out. Check this out. They came out. They didn't even smell like smoke. I said, they didn't even smell like smoke. You know, if you go to somebody's house and they smoke, they may not be smoking while you're there, but you come out and you smell like smoke. But these boys, they didn't even smell like smoke. God did it. God does it. God spoke to Moses through the burning bush. God led the children of Israel out of Egypt. God did it. God had them at the Red Sea. The Red Sea on one side, the mighty Egyptian army on the other side. And guess what? God parted the Red Sea. He made the Red Sea Roanoke Avenue. He parted the Red Sea. It was God who did it. It was God who protected a brother by the name of Jeremiah, who had a rough ministry, had a rough time. One time they threw him down in a jail and threw like a little well. Another time they took the scripture from Jeremiah and burned him up, and God said, write it again. God protected Jeremiah. God protected Ezekiel. God protected Jonah. He sent that big fish to swallow Jonah, and then Jonah speared him up on it. God did it. Say, God did it. I said, God did it. God did it. God, he had Elijah out there by the brook, and before there was even Jimmy John, before there was even Pizza Hut delivery, God had the birds bringing Elijah some meat. God did it. And then he dried up the brook and sent Elijah. You don't find this widow. They struggling. They don't really have any food, but you go in there, and as long as you're in there, I'm going to increase their food. God did it. God did it. Y'all with me? God did it. God does it. God did it. Ask Saul of Tarsus. He's on the Damascus Road going to try to persecute Christians. And Jesus met him on the Damascus Road. Changed his life. God did it. God did it. I'm not confused. When I met the Lord, when I met the Lord in August of 92, God is the one who saved my life. God is the one who saved my soul. God is the one who took me off a road headed to death and destruction and put me on another road. God did it. I'm not confused. God did it. God did it. Somebody will say, God did it. God did it. God did it. He does it. And check this out. His grace is sufficient. His mercies are new and everlasting. His power is unlimited. His wisdom is perfect. And his love is unconditional. And if you need to be delivered, if you need more joy, more peace, guess what? God can do it. I said, God can do it. That's one of his names. He is Jehovah Shalom, the God of peace. He can give you peace in the midst of a storm. He can give you joy in the midst of sorrow. Those are not just cliches. God can do that. God can do that. So as you go through things, just be reminded, God, he's in control. Now, sometimes I will say this. Sometimes we do crazy stuff. Sometimes we get off track. Sometimes we fall into sin, and we bring a lot of that type of stuff on our life. But God, you have to rejoice even in the midst of that. God disciplines. He disciplines those whom he loves. If you just do any kind of old crazy stuff and not feel the hand of God on you, you ought to get real concerned. So maybe I don't belong to God. but a child of God, whatever we go through, it first filters through the sovereign hand of God. God has to sign off on it. He has to rubber stamp it. Somebody say, God did it. God did it. Once again, he took Joseph. Check this out. Over 13 years, he took Joseph from the pit, put him in Potiphar's house, put him in prison, and then put him in the palace. So he went from being on the outskirts of town to being the second in charge of all of Egypt. Somebody ought to get a Lord a hand clap of praise for doing it. Only our God could do something like that. The Congress couldn't do it. The senators couldn't do it. Nobody could do it. But God, the Supreme Court couldn't do it. Nobody but our God. Nobody but our God. Stand with me this morning if you can stand. Stand with me.